ground is particularly frigid this time of year, isn't it?
If you can, climb higher.
Boy, I think I saw a spot near the engines where we could warm up, maybe dry up even, have a nice sit.
And when were you thinking of informing me of this new discovery?
Oh, I thought you'd rather enjoy having a swim. Didn't say otherwise.
Do I look like I'm enjoying this? Get up there, damn you.
Okay. I think I see enough external piping to climb up. There we are. A nice safe route.
Move it.
Sure thing. On our way. Oh, shoot. That was a hot one.
What the hell? Coolant release line's busted. I just replaced that bugger last week.
It seems our friends have caught up to us.
Dreams drift in and out of our conscious realms, dancing, blending, fusing themselves to memory until we can no longer ascertain what is real from fabrication. Celestial doors may open to reveal sights of awe, but forebode a dreadful fate for our planet on the brink. This is Mondrea Memories, the Dreamer's Echo podcast. Please note, this memory features mature themes that may not be suitable for younger ears and imaginations. Listener discretion is advised. Memory 3. Confine. Upon a kindled throne.
Can't you take to the sky? Must we bear the cruelty of this rolling sea?
Thought you wanted to keep a low profile out here.
Even if a ship this small crossed Fenalian radars, resources are under strict regulation. None of the patrol ships on either side could afford to shoot you down.
Well, thanks for your contribution to the piracy community.
Lift off, we'll drop those fleas before we cross the cliff edge.
Would if I could, General.
Just Lennox, please. I would prefer to keep my Fenalian rank apart from this excursion. Treat me as if you would any of your paying clients.
You got it, Dono. Oh. I would pull up and let Lady G-Force herself claim our friends here. But we're gonna stay low and out of sight.
The intensity of the waves grew exponentially once we were roughly a few hundred meters from the cliffside. All I could do was question my pilot of her bold sailing.
Perhaps you're worried the engines cannot handle the sea-sky transition. I filmed airships with weaker thrust than this capable.
No.
You want to keep the tail?
Yeah, sure. Let's say that.
With her dark, damaged fingernails, she tapped a few gauges on her dashboard. The altimeter, fuel, and an old repurposed radar system from decades ago. Each responded with a slight wiggle or ping that seemed to edge slight concern, curling the ends of her mouth downward and bringing me closer to the end of my heart seat. That is when I noticed the fuel gauge.
Yeah, we'll have to make a pit. Hope you don't mind.
Would be wise.
Why Ms. Renault, a seemingly successful bounty hunter judging from the outward appearance of such a fine vessel, didn't keep her fuel topped off is beyond me.
We're nearing a fuel plat. I reckon we can make it just in time.
What?
The hand suddenly dropped below the E-line and went completely limp, as if to signify a premature end to our journey. A desperate sigh of defeat left the engine as it sputtered out to silence. Only the slash of the waves beneath remained.
There's a jet of sea cliff beneath us. Close enough. Anchor'll drop right on it. Watch the front, will ya?
She let out a similar sigh as if symbiotically connected to her tired owl, got up and stretched her back and snatched a large mechanics wrench hanging on the wall to her right. The elongating of her spine made her draping cloak lift off the ground and created small tufts of dust. More dust followed as she shuffled through the inner chamber of her ship, kicking down stacks of old papers and crinkled map. She released the door, and a gust of salty wind made me flinch. Ms. Renald did not blink.
She's coming! Get down! Levi? Levi? I'm coming, buddy!
I moved from the bench and leaned toward the front windows, keeping my eyes focused on the horizon, occasionally glancing back at Hazel to make sure she could handle herself if the spies happened to engage her in physical combat. Though hanging out of a small ship door wouldn't grant much capability to do so, I would assume. My studies at both Stalon and Vanalian academies before the war taught me all I thought there was to know about hand-to-hand, weapon-based, and escapist combat. And though I barely made it through it all, nothing I learned could prepare me for an encounter from the edge of a ship at the mercy of the deadly Mondrian Center Sea. Audibly, her hard metal combat boots and knee bracers hit the outer deck of the ship as she leaned out for a better look. Visually, I could only confirm she was still with us from the cracked nails of her hand tethering back to the wall. As I returned my eyes to their appointed duty of watching out ahead, I heard a small splash amongst the lapping waves, a few clangs, a few grunts, and before I knew it, the door was closed and she was shoving me from the helm and attempting to reawaken this napping bird of prey.
What was that? Were you attacked?
Not necessarily, but I did find their handiwork. Sabotage fuel line as well. I did what I could to repair the two brakes.
And no sign of the saboteurs?
I had to look around. No sign of them.
It's possible the waters took them under.
Sea monsters, maybe? One can hope. Anchors up.
Ms. Renald kicked her ship back to life and threw the switch back up, releasing us from the grip of the underwater cliffs below.
I can't go anywhere.
What was that? Oh, the anchor?
I'm stuck.
Oh, your boot ties got stuck to the anchor.
On this...
And it pulled you down?
Detestable mission.
Below?
With your...
Oh, you fell below
abhorrent.
When the sabotage line came loose.
Incompetent.
That's where you got that scratch on your face.
Louse ass. You kicked me.
Oh, well, the anchor did the rest. Oh, God. Good timing, though, right? I went below to untie you. I could see that scary hunter girl was looking for us. Close one, eh, Levi?
Check the stability before you get your grimy hands on anything. Understood?
Right. Sorry, mate. Oh, she's coming back. Get down!
The fuel's run dry. Anchor's back down. We'll need to take a raft and some paddles up to the station.
I wasn't expecting these kind of conditions for our trip, Ms. Renald.
Just a minor setback. Once I find whoever tore into my ship, I can promise you safe voyage.
She released a pull tab on a small, hand-sized aluminum can, which instantly auto-inflated to a three-person safety pod, complete with two miniature oars to push us out to sea.
Please, Dono, I told you. Just Hazel. It's us against the high seas. Throw that former junk out.
Right. Hazel.
You dumb bastard, get your hands off.
She almost saw us. Haven't you gone on a recon mission like this before?
I know what I'm doing. When I need your help, I'll demand it. I outrank you by 2 naval star points. From now on, you will abide by my order. Is that clear, Lieutenant Barasanzi Flick?
You got it, mate. Yes, Levi. Yes, sir. Sir Levi. Permission to speak freely.
Last time.
Shouldn't we follow them?
They won't get far in that dinghy. They'll just get some fuel in return. We'll stay here, out of sight. We're bound to return to the ship sooner or later.
Agreed. But no, the water's particularly frigid this time of year, isn't it?
You're listening to Mondrea Memories.
Nextus, The Search for the Ocean Shard, is a science fiction adventure graphic novel over 1,200 pages in the making.
And you want me to get all chummy with some weird mechanoid you found?
Follow a band of treasure hunters as they seek an object of monumental power, the fabled Ocean Shard. Though many consider the shard itself to be a tall tale, there certainly are a lot of forces trying to keep our heroes from finding it.
Just talk to him, you'll see.
Over 40 chapters are free to read online, with weekly updates since 2006. The journey continues at nextuse.com. NEXTUUS.com.
This is Mondrea Memories.
It was nearly a 2-hour paddle as the fueling platform slowly departed the horizon and greeted us. Mid-afternoon, and I only swallowed my vomit twice. It helped to re-educate myself with thoughts of the Lunaeanite. Yes. Used mostly as a precious synthetic breath of life our lifeless planet needs. The astonishing working qualities of only a fistful of the element can allow for a platform the size of a small island to stay levitated and powered for about a month. And yet, humanity finds a way to turn that month into a few weeks. That same mysterious rock keeps the Royal Finalian Palace Isles afloat and safe from the erratic tide. For the very same reason, airship fueling platforms stay safe from the crashing chaos of the ocean, as well as safe from any waterborne illicit activity this far north. It helps cultivate a sense of security for our once bustling trade routes. Only a few ships are seen stopping for fuel or Zrok replenishment these days, but when they do, they tend to keep it quiet. A ship like Ms. Reynolds relies on refined and diluted liquefied Zrok for its thrust, and a suspended highly concentrated solid Zrok is harnessed for its lift. If I had to guess, I would say she is out of the solid, which explains why we're stuck on the sea, and her liquid line is cut and dry. Which brings us...
There! The subplat will drop a lift for us.
What makes you so sure? Do they trust your kind of entrepreneurship out here?
I know people. Hopefully.
Her confidence is as shifty as the dicey dark sea tussles our thin lifeboat. The more I thought about the dizzying waves, the more ill I became. Ms. Reynolds spotted a guard at the bottom of the floating island about 100 feet above us. She tied off the boat to a small circular platform directly below the guard's post, where the two of us finally reached more stable footing, and I could slyly free my sickness woes when she wasn't looking. After wiping the corner of my mouth with my old brown, disgusting sleeves, I noticed Ms. Reynolds had brought out a small mirror from behind her high collar, used a bit of leftover sunlight to flash what appeared to be a code to the guard above. Whether it be bounty hunter protocol or standard fueling station guard procedure, I was unsure of what they were saying to each other. It was hard to see through all the splashing water weighing my hair to block sight from my right eye.
He says we're clean. I think. You smell like shit, though.
Nothing gets by you, does it?
I work around some pretty nasty people. Smelled my share of smells.
My apologies.
Hey, at least it helps you look the part. Maybe no one will be able to pick out the king's new right-hand man.
She straightened out the crooked lapels of my new overcoat, brushed off my shoulders, and patted my chest with a friendly palm. Nearly knocked the wind out of me if I wasn't ready.
Watch yourself.
The wooden platform had already begun lifting off the water as I noticed the raft hanging off the side. It rejoined similar colored rotted wood catwalks hanging just below the island. I wobbled a bit, but managed to gain some stable footing before the lift locked into place with a solid thud. To be safe, I replaced the scarf over my nose and ensured most of my face would be concealed before approaching the station guards. We reached him after a few spirals and narrow walkways.
Welcome to station 8-D90, ma'am. Sir, continue straight ahead and don't stop.
You got it, sir.
I simply nodded, hoping the news of my appointment of Finalian General hadn't reached this minute speck on the sea map. The guard's gaze never left my face. I could feel it burning my brow as it inquired and interrogated me without a single word.
Enjoy your stay.
Of course.
She's been here before, probably before the addition of the face bandages. They recognized her. Bounty hunting isn't illegal in Mondrea, but it is frowned upon. As long as the bounties are court-appointed and warranted, they'll stay off our backs. But if they happen to be outside of that realm, we'd have a security detail awaiting us up top.
Who the hell comes to a fuel plant in the middle of the Mondrian Sea with no ship for which to fuel?
Confeen, I thought I saw your boat parked out back.
Don't even think about getting your greasy palms all over it again. And still patching up the front hole after that which you did.
Aw, I didn't know I left such a lasting impression on you.
And who might this tall glass of pukey pew be?
New crewman, Donnie. Don't let his wiry stance fool you. Man's built to sail.
Why, yes, he is.
A pleasure, sir.
Sure, if that'll please you.
A short, stocky man, this Confine, wearing what appeared to be a mix between a chef's and a train conductor's outfit. Just leave half of it hanging off his torso and add a yellowed canvas cape, and accentuate with random once shiny bits and baubles here and there. He jingled like a court jester with every step, smiled like one too. We followed the awkwardly shaped prancing salesperson over a few more hanging bridgeways into steam-filled hallways and up to the surface of the floating island.
So what brings you to 8-D90Q?
Oh, darling, you were first of which I asked. Where's old Owly?
Don't call her that.
Oh, fine, the owl maiden, dear. Don't have a fit now. You know I don't like you when you're mad. You become all unlovable. Your pretty face, all sorts of damage upon which madness brought.
He peeks beneath her bandages and winces. She tips her chin back away from his stare.
She's anchored a few miles south. She's safe, in a sense.
Won't be for long, I fear. My weather boy speaks thunder, and not the kind I like. The applause kind. Ha! No. He be talking all sorts of mess upon our gauges and flight paths for which to wreck. You know, I've got a sturdy boat for which to sail these shaky skies. You sure yours is good?
We finally reached the top, and sure enough, storm clouds were forming, though we all knew there would be no rain. Over 90% of Mondrea suffers from perpetual drought. The closest our thirsty planet gets to rain is a few humid monster clouds charged with unpredictable death, hurling lightning through airships and threatening trade routes for hours.
These magnetic storms can't touch her. You know that.
How true that is, I often wonder. You know me. I am a businessman. Always have an eye out for my clients and partners for which to ensure their prosperity.
Two bumbling idiots managed to tear into our fluid lines. There's no thinking what a lightning storm could do. Before we realized, we were already sitting in a hazy lounge, continuing to suffer this fool.
Come. Sit. You hungry? I've got stories. All our lovely ladies miss you, girl.
Afraid I'm in a hurry, Q. I need fuel. Well, I could use fuel. But what I really need is...
You're low on the magic rock. Can't get old Squawk Box flying again, can you? Pity upon you. This plat's all run dry. The last lot of which I... just bought. Attendant?
Oh, yes, sir. Of course, sir.
With a quick double clap, he already had a bag of coins and jewels flying across the room towards the entrance, where a station worker was walking to a different patron to inform their ship was ready. Confine's pay, though generous, had full intent to intercept this attendant, as if his presence and airship deserved their full attention over proper paying customers. What forced regality, perhaps?
Nope, not happening.
I had assumed the bag was in the attendant's hands already, but it was hanging on a medium-length dagger Hazel had quickly unveiled from behind her cloak. A few coins spilled out of the tear that had formed and was slowly widening. It's clear who's in power here.
Hazy Wazy! No! You're spilling it everywhere! Please, be it all into the poor fuel attendant, would you fling it? On the double... You got all spooks!
You know this money is as dirty as you are, Mr. Q. It doesn't belong to you. Neither does the moon rock below the station.
She shook the dagger in coin purse like a carrot on a stick, just out of the pleading man's reach. The fuel attendant placed her tablet aside and began walking closer to the mess of coin and jewel scattered on the ground, as if to assist in keeping it all in order for the lazy man.
Oh, come now.
Attendant, don't. Let him sift through his own dirt.
I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. It was clear the two of them had a history, but what exactly brought them together and then apart and together once more is anyone's guess at this point. Nearly in tears from the shock, Confine had no choice but to listen to the woman with the knife. His desperate cries leave her unmoved, but still he pled for Hazel to go easy on him and his dwindling funds.
You don't understand that which you do not. Ah, it's no longer a business-based world out there, Haze. Sailors these days don't make enough coin for which to visit the pleasure ship. Damn it, Hazel Renald. I'm just as in debt as any other businessman across the sea sky, and all my girls are underperformed.
The shaking stopped. His accent had left him. Hazel had stopped inching the flow of coins from the pouch and had frozen, staring down at the weak-minded entrepreneur with shameful, heated eyes. If I had to predict the next few moments, it would have involved the sharp bite of a back hand and the fetal position.
You don't own a thing. Now gather your money, you filth.
Instead of striking the man down in his own pity, she unleashed the rest of the bag's contents, showering down on the pile of waste of a man that crumpled beneath, scurrying to ensure every last bit of currency was preserved from any onlooker's grabby hands or eyes. Except she did not. What had truly happened next could be excused as a cheap parlor trick, had I not known the truth of the matter.
Let's relieve ourselves of this sad pile of a man.
To call it sleight of hand would be an offense to this woman. Ms. Renald had again flicked her cloak up and around the businessman's vision, and there he lay stunned. No mess of coin or jewel scattered around his limp body. Simply the bag, fully intact, sat in her hand. Agape, with coins visible to everyone in the room, she reached in, pulled out the biggest one and jewel she could for herself, tied it back up, and tossed the rest to the attendant.
Oh, for your troubles, miss. Let him rise for an hour or so. He won't remember much. Let's go, Dunny.
What in all of the annals of history had I just seen? An illusion of some sort? Maybe. Maybe a magic spell to confuse everyone in the cafe into thinking this woman had put on some show? Magic spells. Leave that in the children's storybooks, you old fool. But I saw it. An imaginary shower of shameful coin over this buckled over man. A mind trick, perhaps? I have never before heard of any sort of mind control before in all my years, and of such advanced skill. It could have just been him she was fooling, but I was certain every onlooker in that cafe saw the coins, heard each gem as it clinked to the ground. It was as if she suddenly reached deep into his mind, found his one weakness, and exploited it without end. A public humility, to say the least. For such a pompous, vile man to be ostracized from his self-made throne in a matter of mere minutes. Ms. Renald knew the map of his buttons, and she knew exactly which ones and how hard to press. Fuel wasn't even the reason for this detour, that much I realize now. She had been dead set on intercepting this Confine, shaming him, and making sure he had his audience. I followed her out to the airship docks, where several ships were being refueled. How in the hell did you do that? I mean, is that even possible?
Oh, that? Same way I made the escape hatch under our booth at the bar. And same way I snatched your scarf when you turned the corner.
Sure enough, my face was bare, invisible for all Mondrea and its threats. I didn't even feel the cold sea air until she mentioned something.
Sorry, I forgot you didn't want anyone to know Donnie's true identity.
Lower your voice.
I quickly rewrapped my face behind the scarf.
Was it a trick?
A trick? An illusion? I don't know. I've been able to do stuff like that since I was 10. It only really works when I mess with people, oddly enough.
Magic.
Lucky for me, you're just too easy to mess with. Oh, and having a big cape helps too. It's like one giant sleeve, chock full of tricks up it.
But why him? Is this the North business you had to deal with? Some personal vendetta you just had to settle?
We neared the biggest ship in the harbor. I suspected it was Confine's own pleasure ship.
Q? Oh, this? This is just a bonus I get to pick up along the way. May I present to you the Quail Feather, famed floating brothel of the North Seas. A piece of shit I've been tracking down for a while now.
You must be delighted.
Ms. Renault approached the dock guard post just before the plank walk to the massive air freighter, removed the large gold coin from the middle of her blouse, and placed it within his right palm with a level of seduction I didn't think she was capable.
There's more where that came from, sugar. Just walk away.
Right.
As we were halfway down the dock, I realized she had forgotten to do the fancy cloak whip that soon became her signature sign-off to every trick. That is when I noticed her put the coin back into her shirt. Another clever trick.
What? Hey, it vanished. What the heck? Grab him.
You a runner, Donnie?
I was now. It was clear we were in a space prohibited to all but the pilot and crew of this ship. We blasted forth in a mad dash, careful to not miss any of our footing on the old boards. A quick right turn and we were on the plank leading up to the ship. A few more long, quick strides upward and we would be in. We would be safe. But there were several ship hands, crew members perhaps, ladies dressed as courtesans aboard.
Miss Wren? You've returned! Oh my! Everyone! Miss!
Keep it down. I'm only passing through. I need to borrow Q's ride, if you don't mind. Please, distract the guard, will ya?
Mm-hmm.
With a flick similar to Hazel's own trick wrists, but without a cloak in hand, the courtesan was suddenly flooded with more finely dressed women. The approaching guard was drowning in lace and skin, olive, caramel, milky, ooh, chocolate.
Okay.
More flavors than any man could ever want. Ever desire.
This way, General.
Miss Wren, as they called her, led our path to the bridge and began to helm the ship from behind the glassed room. As our luck would have it, the engines were already warm, so peeling away from the dock was easy. She even took care not to drop the guard to a watery death below. These docks were at least 200 feet from the ocean's surface. Instead, the women planted several cheek kisses goodbye and sat him on the planks below. We were much higher now, roughly 700 feet above the sea. It had been a while since I'd been this high in a ship. The Grand Citadel's royal grounds are nearly 1,000 feet up, but much more stable. I don't get nearly as airsick as I do seasick. Ms. Wren adjusted some blips on a map, scrambled some switches, and affixed our speed to a steady sail.
We have about 15 minutes. Confine will be somewhat sentient by then, and perhaps joined by guards, wondering where I took his ship.
Autopilot?
No, one of the girls can fly this thing. Dolores, I need you up here, darling.
The same woman that greeted Ms. Renault at the dock had arrived at the top of the stair to the bridge.
You called for me, Ms. Wren?
Yes, sweetie. Could you fly this boat for a bit? We need to go below deck and procure a few things.
Yes, ma'am. But...
what is it?
May I ask, what exactly do you plan on doing here? With us? Where's Mr. Q?
He's at the cafe, replotting his next route in life. Look, I need you to drop us off at the blip I left on your radar. Just south of here. As soon as you stop, we'll jump out, no questions asked. Get back to Q, pretend I jacked the ship, and you lot overpowered me and tossed me off. Understand?
No.
Ms. Wren stared back inquisitively.
We've practiced this enough. And, to be honest, we're through with practicing. There's no other sailors on board. The deck's clear. The rooms are clean. We're ready. First stage, 1.
Okay. Rendezvous at point 48. Until then, stay out of sight, all of you.
Yes, miss.
And lose the ship. You can scrub all you want, but nothing can clean the grime off these walls.
Yes, miss.
The two of them embrace. So much has happened. So much is happening in the course of these few hours abroad. But it will all fall into place soon, I'm sure.
Now get flying.
Yes, miss.
You are listening to
Mondrea Memories.
Podcast creators should only partner with products they believe in. That's why I'd like to share my good friend's woodworking at dwarvenworkshop.net. Andy Goodman is a living woodsmith straight out of mythic legend, dedicated to providing you with one-of-a-kind wood decor, art frames, furniture, tabletop gaming supply, and even kitchen and cosmetic items never elsewhere seen, like his handmade beard combs and soap dishes. His custom orders are absolutely mythical legend. When comic creator Jet Falco's keyboard tray broke in half after a comic drawing marathon, Andy stepped up and made him a custom artist dream setup, complete with live edge, stylus tray, mouse pad, and even the Dreamers Echo logo inscribed upon it. There's a picture of it in the guest art section of DreamersEcho.com. He's always willing to turn your imaginative idea into lifelong, tangible wooden creation. To make game night classy, check out his custom-burned dice towers, magnetic deck boxes, and bottle openers, as well as his impressive phone speaker amplifiers to add some bass to your next booming D&D sesh. You gotta see this stuff to believe it. Order the perfect gift for yourself or a friend at dwarvenworkshop.net. That's dwarvenworkshop.net. And tell Andy Jet sent you.
This is... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you go, it's fine.
Okay, this is...
Okay, wait. I wanna... No, let's both go.
Fine.
This is Mondrea Memories. Great work.
We took several narrow, rusty stairs to get below decks, where the ship fuel and Confine's, now Dolores's, stash of the infamous solid Zroke was being stored. We only needed a small vial's worth of the rock, and chances are, the slimy man who owned this before Dolores acquired it illegitimately, so we did not feel remorse in taking some. Hazel came prepared to handle it properly. I could tell she had the experience. Most pilots do. She slowly scooped the shiny luminescent rock bits with a long-handled skinny spoon. Each bit was carefully slid into a dark glass vial with precision. Too much motion or abrupt shaking could cause the solid Zroke fuel to react violently.
Should be enough.
Take however much you think you'd need to power your ship's flight capability.
You figured me out.
It was the obvious conclusion as to why we were stranded at sea. She stopped and looked at the remaining Zroke in the large crystal canister which sat suspended in a clean room. A commonplace storage facility for an airship of this caliber.
Maybe just a bit for trading purposes.
She filled two more vials.
I feel a slowing. We must be above your airship now.
Son of a bitch.
As we made our way back, I could tell something was amiss. Renault's strides were becoming more cautious by the time we passed the private rooms and reached the back door to the main deck. Voices, just beyond the frosted pane of circular glass in the middle of the door's top panel. Angry voices. We peeked through a slim crack of the opened door, and the setting sunlight nearly blinded us both. The positioning of this back door and our sore retina confirmed the ship was facing northeast, back to the fueling station. Could the girls have betrayed us? Ms. Wren was doubtful. There was another voice, one sharper than any single lady on board. One that cut through the walls of this ship and struck us instantly. Confine had already caught up. He had just boarded his ship from a small sailed vessel and was demanding the insurgent come forth and receive a full battery of punishment. We turned the corner and laid eyes upon the shameful runt of a man. Not only had an old flame publicly embarrassed him, but his ship was miles away from where he thought it should be. And it was full of vengeful women ready to take a piece out of him one by one until only that mouth remained, left on the bloody wood, stumped 100 times by each woman he employed on this ship of horrors. But now, he just stood in the center of the deck, surrounded by robed women, shouting out threats of broken promises, nothing of substance, as every woman knew him.
That son of a...
We should take our leave, miss.
No, Donnie, after all that guy put us through, I want to see him suffer.
If you say so.
I followed her out to the center of the crowd. She calmly and politely made her way to the circle, where Confine was waiting.
Oh, could it be? So she appears, ready to redeem herself from the hell to which she's to be thrown. I should have known it was you, Miss Wren. Only secretly rousing up your little troops. Forming a little resistance army, are we? A little force for which to be reckoned?
You must have always known we'd turn against you in the ship. Your business days are through.
Well then, I hope your forces are ready to be reckoned. I brought a little army of my own.
A few dock guards armed with clubs and cuffs appeared on the plank and rallied behind the short fellow. I wonder how much he paid these dockhands to leave the comfort of their own guard jobs to help fight gorgeous women on a brothel above the sea. Must have been more crummy coin from his purse. I wish Ms. Renault had spilled it out all over that cafe. Maybe that would have saved us some time.
What do you have to say for
yourself? Hindsight.
You know those cuffs won't work on these girls. Ready to initiate stage one, ladies.
Stage one! Removal!
I could see the fear welling up behind Confine's eyes.
Ready!
Ladies?
She took a large step back and let the crowd of Hell Fury have their way with the crumbling man and his cohorts. I want to say an epic battle is what followed, but the words massacre or slaughter may have better fit the occasion. It almost pains me to think how grueling a death one man must suffer after being tossed off his kindling throne, set afire with woman's rage, and then stomped out by 100 feet, dancing upon his new grave in celebration and triumph. She might have enjoyed a few stomps herself, but from my position along the ship's edge, I could barely make out if her armored boots got in a foot or not. The crowd's consensus went from shock to patience to rage, chaos, and finally settled on realization. The realization that their tyrant had at last fallen beneath their feet. Literally, I'm afraid. It is becoming quite an honor, remembering the victory shared by these broken women, that I was there to witness their first few breaths of freedom as they quickly evolved into cries of pure jubilee. The quail flies no more. Down with the runt bastard were only a few of the chants I could piece together in a swarm of exultation. The other guards were lucky to have a split-second realization of their own and a chance to toss themselves overboard to avoid a mess with the ladies themselves. Ms. Renault's figure became more boldly outlined as the crowd spread out upon the deck of the freighter. I could see her lean into Dolores' ear and whisper a few words. She placed one of the vials of Zroke on her friend's chest. I managed to read her lips when she spoke ever so slightly. Fireworks.
Let's go, Donno. We're done here.
I like to imagine the old boy was still breathing, still crying, laughing, hurling fruitless threats once more as they strapped him to a Zroke cannon and released his final words out into the night. A small vial of pure fire resting in his shirt pocket as he was blasted into starlight. The woman-made supernova settled behind us when at last our new raft reached the Owl Maiden, which jade-folded wings have quickly become a sight for these sore eyes. I looked back once more at the celebration above us. I could not help but release one big breath of relief before entering the ship and reclaiming my bench. Miss Wren acted as if this was just another day. Another day in the life of a Mondrian bounty hunter, hunting the motherlode of sweet revenge. One luscious and fruitful, abundant enough to be shared with all of your childhood friends. But this was simply their stage one. I can only imagine what glorious stages await them in their futures.
You're listening to Mondrea Memories, the Dreamer's Echo podcast. Keep listening for a special message from the creator of the show, as well as a bonus memory. For a full cast and crew list, please visit dreamersecho.com/podcast. Stay awake.
If you've been following along on social media, you may have heard there was a Mondrea Memories coloring contest. In an effort to get more people to join in on the adventure, I thought, how interactive can we truly get? Can those who hear the adventure actually help create the adventure? Or an adventurer, at least? As a listener, could you seriously see your character design become official art for the show? Have you ever heard of any other podcast that elevates their fan art to this level? I took to the web and I asked the artists of the world, how would you design the wardrobe of our newest character in the Mondrea Memories adventure, Ms. Hazel Renald? And so, the battle to see whose creations would level up as official character canon art has ended, and we were able to narrow it down to two final, lovely designs. And it is such an honor to introduce to you the winners. Cartoons by Andy Scott, brought earthy, woodsy, peaceful druid-like tones to Hazel's wardrobe. Truly a more than welcome sight, a flowing oasis against the harsh desert climate of Mondrea. And Signature Signa sent Hazel to the stars in regal deep purples and glistening golds, no less, adding a level of cosmic charisma to our mysterious bounty hunter. Thank you so much to our amazing artists. Head over to dreamersecho.com and check out their amazing designs now. And don't forget to congratulate them and follow them on their social media. Their fan art just leveled up to official Mondrea Memories art. Join the show on Patreon to see some amazing new merch come out. Shirts, stickers, and more will feature Andy's and Signa's Hazel colors. For as little as $1 a month, you can gain access to the comics, music, and more. So consider supporting the future of this show on Patreon. Head on over to dreamersecho.com and look for the link. You can't miss it. For now, here's a bonus memory. Thank you so much for listening.
Wow, how beautiful. I didn't know there would be a show. And just in time for sundown. It's kinda romantic, eh, Leave?
Shut the hell up. I wish those two would get back here and start the engine already. Tengu.
Makes it almost worth it, huh?
I've got no more to say to you.
Oh, but look at all the pretty sparkles. It's like shooting stars all coming down for a visit. You ever seen such a sight, Levi? I sure haven't. Although I think they're back. Do you think this is good enough hiding spot? I checked all over the engine. Seems the fueling port is inside the ship. Weird, right? Anyways, I've nearly dried off. How about you? Still soggy? Ah, you look cold, mate. Don't know about you, but the fireworks warmed me up. Inside, at least. I think we'll sleep soundly here tonight. Whoa, spoke too soon. This is time to hang on again, right? Alrighty. Wonder where these old grumps are heading anyway. Judging from the sunset, looks like we're headed north. I've never been farther than the north end of the sea. How about you? Oh, looks like we're taking off. Oh, lordy. We are getting high. Fast. You ever been this high up, Levi? This is wild. Actually, it's getting pretty hard to breathe up here. Oh, I hope we don't got too far to go, eh?
You sure you don't want to do one more sweep of our unwanted tagalongs?
If they can hold on through my flying, they deserve to catch ya.
Copyright 2020, DreamersEcho.com.
Creative Commons Attribution License Non-Commercial No Derivatives.
Thanks again for discovering Mondrea Memories. I truly appreciate you and your...
Whoa!